All right, we have been speaking about what I call them the principles of intercession, right? Yes, so we have been learning some things about that. I believe it's one of the most important things that we're supposed to do in this season, that is learn how to pray effectively. And that's why we have this school of prayer. I will continue to deal with the things that have to do with prayer most of these Tuesdays. All right? So that we'll learn how to pray effectively. The reason, again, is because the hand of the Lord sometimes will appear like it's too short that he cannot deliver. It is not because his hand is too short that he cannot deliver. It is simply because oftentimes we have not done what we are supposed to do to allow him do deliverance. And one of the major things concerning deliverance, there are deliverance in different areas, all right? One of the major things about deliverance is prayer. People must learn how to pray, and people must pray effectively. Prayer is, of course, everybody prays, all kinds of people pray. But how you do it is important as a Christian if you are going to get the results attached to it. So we're talking about the principles of intercession. Before I say that, let me just say this again. Kenegan told a story about how the Lord said to him that people, oftentimes they don't pray. All they are doing is just complaining in what they call prayer. And we have to be careful that we do not fall for that trap in which we are doing a lot of motions, but we're actually not praying. I said this again. I said it before. Let me say it again. God actually answers prayers. What did I say? He does. What's important is that we learn how. That's why the disciples came to him once and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he answered them, because if you don't pray it right, you may not be blessed, all right? That you may not experience the result that you were desiring from that prayer. All right, just to introduce why we are doing what we are doing again. Now, we've been talking about the principle of intercession, and I feel like reviewing what I said before. Now, one of the things I try to do, or I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to do through plenty of the talking that we do here, is to change people's mindsets, their way of thinking. That's a better way to put it. Their process of thinking. Let me tell you a joke. It will help you understand what I mean by that. A few days ago, a friend of mine called me, and he referred to one discussion I had with somebody who worked in my office. So I said to him that don't mind him, just pardon him, that he does not know how to think beyond that level. Are you getting my point? I may not give you all the details. I just said, look, okay, let me tell you something that happened. That maybe somebody said something, or the fellow spoke to him in a particular way, and the way he responded, that fellow was now interpreting it based on some very silly reasoning. Like, it's because yesterday when he greeted me, I did not answer. That's why he's angry. I don't know what I'm trying to say. So I explained something like that to him, that don't be angry with him, that's the way he reasons. And I gave an example of how that fellow reasons. I said, you're my friend. Imagine that you come to my house now. I was just trying to make an excuse that you shouldn't be angry. You just overlook what he did. I said, imagine that you come to my house now. You don't stay in my house. And he knows you're my very good friend. And you go and stay in a hotel. I said, the only way he reasons is that he'll say, that hotel belongs to the cousin of the wife of a man from his village. I don't know what I heard. I said, no, you don't seem to have followed me. That is the only way he can interpret why my friend didn't stay in my house. He won't think that, oh, maybe the house was full. He won't think that, we'll just say, that hotel, who owns it? There's a relative of his village man that owns that hotel. So I said, that's the only way he reasons. I was just making an excuse for him. Then 2 days later, I went to work, and we're discussing something that happened in the office, how a new man had been appointed to a particular position. He said, do you know why? It is because the board chairman and that man are both from NBC. I couldn't hold myself. I pitched the fellow in front of me. I ran out to go and laugh. Because it just confirmed to me what I just said about him like 2 days ago, trying to make it that don't mind him, that his reasoning is very funny, is very narrow. I said I want to bring something up to us again, that I realized that every time I listen to some things I say, the way I keep talking, I just said that, look, one major thing God is doing, all right, through my ministry, that is the way I minister to people, is to change the way they reason. Are you getting my point? For example, nobody who has listened to me for a while, we have a problem now and still be looking for who's the cause of my problems. Now think about it. There's nobody that has listened to me for a while. If you are like that, then you I will make an exception. You are one case that needs deliverance. No, really. If you have listened to me for up to, let's say, 6 months, all right, and you are still thinking like you have a problem, you are trying to identify the cause, then I will make an exception. You are one case in which I will organize a deliverance meeting for, because you really have a demonic problem that will only come out by, and that deliverance session will have some cane with it, with no belt. We have to flog some things out of people. Now, I'm just trying to say something that's one thing which I believe God is doing. Just change the way people reason. I don't believe anybody who has listened to me for a while still believes that the problem he or she has in life is that he has not gotten a visa. Otherwise, his financial situation will have changed. For an adventure, you're like that. Again, you're another person that will make exception for. And you come for serious session of demonic, you know, extraction. Because, let's forget, I'm not making an exception for anybody. All right? I'm not going to deliver you. You know, what we are doing with the word of God always coming forth is to change our perspective, the way we reason, our reasoning process, how we process the events of our lives, how we process the things that are occurring around us. You understand what I'm saying? It's very important, all right? So let's get back to the matter of prayer. So we have learned this. Now, I just wanted to say that, all right, just to help you understand something. Now, let me connect to what I was saying. So I was trying to review the things that we said from the beginning. That one, we have understood that life is God's judgment. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you or he loves you too much. It just means that God is judge and he's fair. That Satan is not your problem. Did that hear an amen? I think we have understood that. That Satan is not the problem of the Christian when it comes to his or her life. That all Satan can do is try to tempt. And when you fall for his temptation, he becomes what the Bible calls an accuser of the brethren. If you have a bad habit you have not broken away from, Satan uses those things as a platform of accusation. But whatever will come out of your life is a result of God's judgment. That is, God decides, all right, that this is the conclusion of this pleading and defense. We said that life is like a courtroom. And don't forget, everything is on trial. Like I always say it, your health is on trial. Your success or failure in life, all right, is being determined there. How long you will live is on trial. The devil is the accuser, and he keeps bringing things up against you. Now, we're talking about principle of intercession now, that is, the emphasis being on praying for, you know, other people or other things or the nation and all of that. So we said the nation also is on trial. Whether 2015 will come in peace or not is being decided. I said something which I have never heard any preacher say, not because they don't know it, because they are often afraid to say it. They don't want to offend people. I said that Adolf Hitler could not have killed 6 million Jews except God blessed that mission. It's a very funny thing, all right? Christians don't like to say it. They say it's devil. I'm not saying it's not devil, but I'm saying that all the devil could do was to accuse. All he could do was to make petitions and demand judgment from God to allow him to go ahead and do it. We must understand that because Christians spend a lot of times attacking the devil in a wrong fashion, and it does not work because they think the devil is their problem in causing problems for them. The devil is not. He's not. He can't. Now, please, you must not understand what I'm trying to say. That primarily, what he does is to accuse. It's only when he has gotten judgment against you that he now begins to cause your problems. So what you do is to ensure that he can't. And that's how you do it. You make petitions for yourself. Not only for yourself now. You also make petitions for like the country you are living in. You don't join those who are accusing. Let me try and sit on the main, the main focus. Let's just say, because prayer has many aspects. We're just talking about intercession. Because concerning your life, you utter words also. But I want to just talk about intercession when you are praying for somebody else, when you are praying for a nation. What Satan is trying to do is to get judgment against your country. What you are doing as a believer is to plead God's mercy. You are speaking against what the devil is saying. You are speaking in line with the will of God. You are using the will of God. Don't forget what we said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. That we read that from Psalm 15, all right? But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The way God did it is that if we don't see anything about what's going to happen on the earth, all right, it is what the devil is saying that will happen. That's just the way it is. That's why Jesus had to teach us to pray. He said, pray like this, that will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. What God is saying by that is simple. That is, if I record something in heaven, I depend on you to make sure it is done on the earth. It doesn't mean, this is a mistake a lot of Christians make. They think that the Nigeria police needs a correction. Therefore, all of us will go and join the police force. And they will now form a critical mass of Christian policemen. Are you getting my point? And then we'll stop all the problems in Nigerian police. Now, there is a part of being a police officer as for a believer. There are those that God called to do that. But that method of let's all just go and join and then we will now solve the problem is not what God means when he says that you will solve it for me. What it means is this. When you see it, like the Bible says, for example, that when God sees injustice, it displeases him. So that's one thing you have read from the scriptures. So you now take that to God in prayer and bring up the case of the judicial system in Nigeria before God. You bring up the case of the judicial system in your country before God. You bring up the case of the police force in your country before God. Are you getting my point? That we are the salt of the earth. We are the people of God. And it's so important you understand that you must have light in that place. So we are the people of God that are here. That this is as much our land as anybody else's. So we have the local stand, the lawyers we say, to plead this case. So I'm saying, concerning my land, this is what I want. God says, listen, you are my people there. So you will say, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. So God loves justice. Therefore, I am a child of God. So I will say, God, let justice be done on this earth. What you do is that when you are praying, don't forget our mindset is that we know that it depends on us. It's not the devil. Our mindset, which we are developing, is that it depends on us. That God depends on us to bring his will to birth on this earth. Not just by walking and saying, okay, let me go and join the good educational system so that it will become good. Yes, there are those who have the assignment for that. But whether you have that assignment or not, you have the duty to utter words to God in prayer. You have to ask God for mercy. You have to stand as, what is your reason for asking? Because I desire it. And God has put righteous desires in your heart as his child. So if I stand and say, I'm a Nigerian, I'm from Enugu, I live in Enugu here, whatever it is, and I don't like the educational system, I see it. I begin to utter words, all right, to God in prayer about it. God will correct it because I said something. Now, the mistake people make is that they think things just get corrected by themselves. No. Let me emphasize that to us again. For the will of God to be done on the earth, you and I must get involved. And the number one place where we get involved is in the place of prayer. The mistake Christians make a lot of times that they think is by political involvement. So they go and organize and say, we are Christians in this particular area, so we are demanding justice. Now, is that right or wrong? I don't want to discuss it. But I just want to tell you, that is not the primary area of involvement that God has commanded Christians to be involved in. If you want to join PDP, that's okay. It's between you and your destiny. Amen? Yes, I'm serious about that. If God calls you to that, fine. I don't really care. I mean, it's not good. It's not bad. Just like wearing a white shirt or a green shirt. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But which one is righteous? Please, who knows? You understand what I'm saying? So if you join ANPP, fine. CPC, your problem. After all, Brother Tunde Bakare, he joined CPC and he's still preaching the gospel. Do you understand? Now, so you can do anyone you like. But the primary place where you must be involved, every single one of us, all right, is in praying. It's in standing up and saying, God, this is our country. This is the way it will work. I remember, let me just say, remind us of this again. Let me say it again. I remember I said to us then, that it's so important we don't yield any square foot to anybody. Are you getting my point? People say that, let's divide the country. Christians will never say that. Nobody who has listened to me will say that again in Jesus' name. Amen? You will never say it again. Amen? You will never say it again. If God in his own answer to prayer decides he wants to do some cutting to solve it, let it be his own decision. Are you getting me? But you don't say it. What you be your own talk is simple. The earth is the Lord's. Every corner of Nigeria belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. Therefore, your desire is to claim every aspect of it for him. That's your desire. That's your desire. You don't want to yield any ground. No, you are not willing to yield any ground to any enemy of God, especially the person who opens his mouth and declares that he's an enemy of God by saying that Jesus is not Lord and that he wants to wipe out Christianity. Then he will not get one square foot. The only part of this universe I give to him is hell. Do you understand my point? He can take the whole of hell if he wants it. He's okay with me. Is that not okay with you? He can go to the bottom of the ocean. He can stay there. We don't mind. He can go into the center of the volcanic eruption. It is okay with us. All right? But any fertile land, any peaceful land, any arable land, any trackable land, any land that looks together, he can't have it. And you have that attitude in prayer. You must have that attitude in prayer. That's what we are talking about. All right? Now, so this is our duty. Remember, I'm just going to emphasize it again. God depends. Everybody say depends. Yes. Now, don't think that he will do it with or without you. No. God depends on you and me to have his will executed on the earth. And I'm not saying that we have to go out and go and join politics or join the police or become teachers so that education system will be okay. No, that's not what I mean. It depends on us to stand up every day and utter prayers, all right, and make petitions and say to him, thy will be done on the earth. And that expression, thy will be done, is not just talking about one nebulous will of God. No, that God, you see, as I'm about to go on this journey, thy will be done. I don't know whether you get my point. God, though, you know, as we are starting this educational adventure, I'm entering university, Lord, though, let thy will be done. That's not what that prayer means. You know, as 2015 is coming, though, let thy will be done. That's not what that prayer means. Jesus didn't mean that he's just going to say, thy will be done, no. Thy will. We don't know what it is, so. You know, that kind of will, say, we don't even understand it, but let it just be done. That's not what he meant. Thy will be done is summarized like this, light be. You must know what light is and command it to be. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that is, if you see 2015 is coming, what is the will of God? The will of God, you don't know who the president is, so you can't see anything. That's not what we're talking about. But peace, we can decree peace. We can decree order. We can decree economic advancement. Do you understand my point? That's what it means when he said, thy will be done. As I'm going on this journey as an example, it's not let thy will be done. I command peace upon this journey. The angels of God, they surround me and they deliver me. No evil shall befall me. Are you getting my point? The Lord is with me in my going out and my coming in. That is the will. We talked about it some time ago. We said the will of God is written. What do we say? Is what? Is what? Uh-huh. So that which is written, we declare it, be done. At least we know God's desire for every country is prosperity, is peace. That word peace and prosperity, I told you, they mean the same thing. Hebrews call it shalom. We know it, so we can declare it, be done. We can say there's no peace for the wicked, so God, remove peace from the wicked, remove him from here. That's the will of God. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? That's what it means when it says, say the will of God, it will be done. God depends on you and depends on me for the thing that he wants to do to be done. If you don't say be done, it will never be done. If we all gather and say, this country, I don't understand what is going on, even God will not understand what is going on if it was possible to confuse him. Are you getting my point? But of course, you understand what is going on, but in effect, he will look like he's out of control. Why? Because the people that are supposed to say, will of God be done, what they are saying is, we don't understand what is going on. And Satan will take their words. The most powerful, look, even in the court of law, the most powerful evidence against you is your own confession. Yes. In court. Oh, you did not know? Listen. They say, who shot that man? Police will need to bring, let's take American justice system as an example. They will do fingerprinting. People saw you, but they still have to prove that people saw you and bring those who saw you. And they'll do a lot of things to prove that you are the one that did it. But if you will just tell them, I did it, they don't need any of that, they don't need any of that thing. They don't need, if you just come to court, who shot that man? Are you guilty or not guilty? Say not guilty. I want to prove not guilty. Okay. Now, who shot the man? Say, I did. You're guilty. This is yours. You're saying not guilty doesn't change anything. You just became guilty. In the same manner, if God says, you are the salt of the earth, you come to this and say, this earth itself, you must be a bitter place. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. All the salt gather say, guys, bitterness is our portion. God in heaven, listen. Listen, if I say this, people won't understand. He can't save the situation. He has to decree destruction. He has to. Because he's a just God. He's called just. That's what it means to be just and righteous. So the most potent people, look, let all the, you know, I've told you, you can go to the bar, you know, maybe downstairs where they are smoking something, you know, that side. And, you know, don't go too early. Go after the bar has been open for like 3 hours. And each man don't go through like 3-4 bottles of Gouda. All right? You now hear them talk all kinds of things. The other day, the governor, the president came to Enugu. What did he come to do? They were abuse. The IG was telling us that Enugu is the safest state in Nigeria. What does he know? Then they talk all kind of, you see, all that aggregation of nonsense talkers mean very little. What did I say?
It means very
they mean very little. You know why? They are not the salt of the earth. They are not the light of the world. Like I said to you last time, Sodom and Gomorrah, they have problems. That's true. But they were not destroyed for their problems. They were destroyed for lack of them. Is that not so? God said, I've come down to burn everything. I've seen all their sins. Their cry has come up to me and all of that. All right? Which is a matter of fact. Then Abraham now said, if there are 10 righteous people, will you destroy them? He said, no now. So when they went in there, it was to check for 10 righteous people. So the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came because of the absence of 10, not because of the multitude of his iniquities. You see that? Therefore, if everybody sits now in beer parlor and say this country is very, very stupid, it's not too bad. It's bad though. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah and his iniquities. It's very bad, all right? But it's not too bad. If all the wicked people who are dividing government money say this country is useless, let's divide the money before it dies. You know? You say eat and drink for tomorrow, we die, that kind of thing. Let's quickly do it. It's very bad though, but it's not too bad. But when, now, listen to this. When the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the 10 people that God, all right, is looking up to say something positive, when they now settle down and say, it's bad, it's useless, everything is dead. You know what that means? There's no more hope. We must never forget that. That's what I mean when I say God depends on you. And it depends. Now, that word is not too strong. It's the correct word. He depends. What did I say?
He depends.
You didn't hear me?
He depends.
He depends. He requires you and me before his will can be done on this earth. That's why anything you don't desire, don't declare it. Repeat that. That is a simple thing. Some people say that, look, what we need in this country is revolution. What we need is not revolution. What we need is not revolution. In case you want to know the meaning of revolution, I'll tell you. It's called Egypt. Hosni Mubarak, and then Egypt. Ever since revolution, unemployment has more than tripled. The value of the currency has gone down by more than half. I'm just trying to say it mildly. Those who fought for revolution right now are tired of revolution. The same thing with Tunisia. The same thing with Libya. In fact, the scripture said a strong man, even though he's wicked, when he guards his goods are safe. His economy is undisturbed. It's the Bible. Now, when you remove the strong man, you don't scatter everything down. When you remove the strong man, no stronger man was placed there. So, what you need is not revolution. What did I say? I command you to repeat it. What we need is not revolution.
What we need is not
revolution. Lest there be doubt in your heart. What we need is prosperity. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
What we need is peace. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
What we need is divine favor. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
What we need is God to use any way he wants to use to remove all wickedness. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You don't want anarchy. You don't want it. What you want, that's what you ask for. You want every doer of evil to be destroyed. Then why don't you just ask for it? Lord, let every doer of evil, all those who have private armies, they will use to scatter and kill innocent people, let them die first. It's a good prayer. Don't be very nice. Maybe nicer than God. Say, God, don't just kill him. You know he has children. Me too, I have children. Who doesn't have children? If he doesn't want to die, he should repent. Any man that doesn't want to die should do what? He should repent. You know, wickedness is a bad thing. You know, today, before I came here, I had a meeting in my CMD's office. When I was hearing things there, you know, because I work in the teaching hospital and they are hosted by communities. I mean, every big federal institution like that has a host community. When you hear what they have passed through in the hand of the host community, I said, no wonder the African man was having problems. You think UNT people should be proud of it? They said the communities around them, at the time they had water piped about 20 kilometers down to the hospital from one river. That it became their own oil pipeline. Periodically, they will break it. And the man that before it can be repaired, pipe must be in every household in their village. That after a while, somebody had an ingenious method. You know, where one man was so, in fact, according to my sense, a very intelligent man. He surveyed the area. Because it is a very, very vast, you know, landmass. So he now found where we could get water inside there. So they just closed that pipe permanently. So their blackmail ended. Another group, when NEPA tried to give us uninterrupted power supply by giving us our own direct line, they said, like, before it must cross the land. Now, this is a hospital that's in your community. So one of the reasons why there was no water for a long time was because of the community. Listen, when you want to pray against evil, pray that God should destroy evil people. Stop being nice. You know, they say, God, fire 2 warning shots. It's a good prayer point. Say, Lord, fire them 2 warning shots. After that, they don't repent. No, I'm serious. You can bring... No, when I heard it today, I couldn't believe. I thought it was only Niger Delta. This is just... How many of you know where UNTH is? That you see government trying to make things work. What is government? Government is not a spirit somewhere. In my office, I am part of government. My boss is the main government there. And you see government trying to make things work, and people that are complaining that government is not making things work, they stand there. I think the church needs to pray dangerous prayer and stop collecting offering. You know, we collect too much offering. That's what our problem is. Every time I come to church, offering. We should spend more time praying dangerous. In fact, I think we should ban all this prayer for money for a while and pray against wickedness. We will develop fast. You know, there's a kind of prayer you pray on the airwaves. Everybody will be afraid. Said this week, every man that obstructs progress in this community may he die of heart failure. Man, every counselor go maintain. you guys, I'm not joking. I hope you know I'm not joking. One day you hear it on radio. Now me go they preach. I come with the word of God to you today. That any man who locks anybody in prison for more than 2 hours unjustly may become blind. There's one joke. I don't know how many of you saw it. A photograph somebody took from a NEPA installation in the community. There was a signboard there. It said, do not steal cable from this place. If you steal cable from here, you will die suddenly. You will travel and not come back. You will sleep and not wake. No. True gist, though. I'm not kidding, no. Somewhere in Calabar. As a man, every man, the people have spent money, they were throwing them into darkness. Now the community tire. Then they go hire one big signboard, right, and say, if you steal cable or any part of this installation here, you will travel and not return. No, I will show you after, for those of you who haven't seen it. You will sleep and not wake. Now it sounds like wickedness. I come to tell you today, it is not wickedness. Thank you. It's judgment. When thy judgments are upon the earth, the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. It gets to a point you have to pray like that. That anybody who is stealing from government prevents vaccines from getting to the people in the village, may all the communicable diseases go to his doorstep. And I like such prayer, praying in the open, in church on Sunday. You know, it's not good. You know, I should go and talk to all the bishops. Go and read your scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 28, thereabout. God will say, this is what you do on the mountain of curses. Cursed be the man who strictly strikes down his neighbor. That is, we may not catch you, but this curse shall be upon you. I think bishops and pastors will start doing it at the end of service. Just that we'll not be sure here, we'll just come to learn the word of God. If not in a proper church, we'll start by next Sunday. Say, brethren, time for blessing, time for curses. So everybody put up your hand. Every civil servant that moves the file on his table on time, promotion in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone who delays it waiting for the bribe, demotion in Jesus' name. That is people going to hear. Said this week, everybody who inflates a contract, may his troubles in life be inflated. Amen. And the church shall shout, no, I'm serious. Look, in fact, I'm feeling so inspired that I don't want to leave this thing again. I feel so inspired. Take this message to I'm going to go and teach a lot of pastors this time, I'm teaching you this evening. At the end of service, listen, oh boy, church attendance will first go down. You know now. If you're not afraid of offering being short, you understand? Do the will of God. Those who do the will of God, initially offering will go down. I hope you know. At the end of service, anybody who steals government money or private money or company money and brings as offering to this church, may his house in the village, may it collapse. Man, listen. Bros. The first thing that's going to happen there is that true Christians now go remain for your church. Every unbeliever will disappear. Every unbeliever will miss. I know what I'm telling you. One of the problems we do is that, you know, we Christians will gather in church and be honoring criminals. That this man has been an illustrious son. Why? He gave 2 million naira offering. He stole 50 million, 1 billion pensions fund. Then he comes to church, look in village and draws 5 million. He's an illustrious son. If the church would have just agreed and said to him, oh, thank you very much for the 5 million offering. Are you still around the end of service? He said, yes, okay, just wait. Time for curses and blessings. The man will collect 5 million back, gather the whole thing, and go and refund it in Abuja where he stole it from. I'm telling you. No, look, you see, I'm feeling so inspired right now. This is what I'm saying. I didn't plan it like this, but just take the message somewhere. I think every pastor should start doing the time of blessing and the time of cursing at the end of services. You will see righteousness. Any man who sells fake parts, fake products, medicine, car parts, electricals, and claim it is the original. Let all calamities or failure be in his house. Listen, do that for 1 week, you go market, you know, go see fake parts. Especially when the Reverend Fathers do it, forget. You go market and they say, wait, drug no day again, we don't order the genuine ones. All the fake ones are on the way to the incinerator. I don't want that. I'm telling you. No. We have to carry this message to places. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let me get back to where I started from. So I was saying that these are the kind of prayers you pray. I'm telling you. You pray against evil in the land. That's how you do it. You ask for God's blessings upon... because there's some scripture I read the other day. You know, nobody does everything right. You understand my point? But I found out that the Bible says that blessed is the man. No, I read it in my Bible the other day. He said, blessed is the man who God does not impute his iniquity to. But that's not the one that struck me. He now said, in whose spirit there is no guile. That is, listen, the one that God overlooks his iniquities is the one that, like Abimelech, he does things with a right spirit, even though they are wrong. So God will now bring him correction. He will not impute that iniquity to him. So when we're talking about, well, we're not making demands that everything people do must be perfect. We are attacking those that have wrong spirits. You wouldn't believe this. But you know, there are people, if you don't know human beings, when I was young, I didn't believe it. There are people that don't want progress because they benefit from lack of progress. When I went to preach in Boni, I went to the gas plant, you know, their residential area. So our brother, the one that was my host, when he was telling us stories, telling me stories, I was knocked out. That in fact, he makes a joke that we are the federal government of that island. And really, you see it, roads, water, everything they provide. I mean, the company is quite well-to-do. They have a lot of money, so they try to make everybody happy. Said, do you know when they said they wanted to start giving power? Power that we are praying for. They generate it. And they could generate enough for power the whole community around. All the communities around. They said they wanted to start powering all the communities around from their own plant. The people said no. There's no need. Almost riot. Don't give us power. Why? Because before then, they had bought generators for them. And they used to give them diesel free of charge. That is not really, they will pay for diesel. One of the chiefs, one of the big boys in the community will be supplying diesel. So one day the people said that, why are we always, of course, that one, there's no way to, if you've been where diesel is being dispensed, you don't know how to measure consumption. That is diesel, just they go. They're just going to say diesel don't finish. They go, sign check again. Diesel will arrive. 2 days later, it don't finish. And you know when Niger Delta man say it don't finish. It don't finish with that. You can't ask questions. So the guy said, so after a while, I guess everything was, he said, look, let's just connect these guys direct to our own plant. That was it too. He said, Nalai. Can you believe that? Those are the kind of people you need to kill with prayer. That is lovers of self. Said, after a while, the company got there, they put their foot down, saying, I lie. Whatever, let heavens fall. We are connecting you people to our plant, direct. And this is a place where light doesn't blink. You don't get what I'm saying? Their light does not blink. I was there for like 5 days straight. Light didn't blink once. In fact, the hotel room, the guest house room I stayed, the day I arrived in there, I was staying somewhere else before, and I moved out to the guest house. I saw on the table a note that says, dear occupant of this room, please be informed that between the hours of 9 and 12, we shall switch off for maintenance purposes. So I showed my host, say, see you. Ah! He said, hey, in that case, let's go back to where we are coming from, sir. We'll come back later in the day. Then we drove back to another place because we knew light was constant. They want to connect a community to that. And a few people, because of personal interest, said no. Why shouldn't you pray wicked prayer? This, your kindness is not good. You know, I've been telling you. The same thing happened with water. They wanted to supply water. They can do these things. When I saw that, I saw the pipes were laying all over. The town is very big. Before, they gave them tankers and, you know, like they pay people to supply water in tankers. So after a while, they said, now, we can connect you so everybody will just turn tap. Wahala boss, though. He said, no, nobody's digging this place. I'm serious. Nobody is digging. Listen, this kind prayer, these kind ones, is enough. We need to turn the... You know, you have to release both of them. On Saturday, I'm going to teach you. Please make sure you're around on Saturday. And the last Saturday, I didn't attend that. There's something I was trying to explain. I didn't fully connect it. When I got home, as I was meditating, the Holy Spirit said, "Bank, see what you miss." I said, yeah, I got it. I can't let that. I preached the message years ago before. I'll bring it out on Saturday. You'll find out when David said, contend with them that contend with me, it was a prayer which was not answered. And then when Jesus died and God raised him again from the dead, he took the answer and gave it to him. And Jesus turned around and gave the answer to the church. That is, you don't have to pray anymore. Jesus prayed one prayer for you long ago. And he said, contend with those who contend with me. So God now said, now, it's no longer a prayer. It's now a declaration of fact. I will contend with those that contend with you. So if the church really wants, you know, if the church is the church, it will wipe out Boko Haram in 12 hours. They just lift up their hand and say, Lord, we thank you. Because you are contending with those that contend with us. That's all. And God will release dangerous demons from hell and dangerous angels from heaven with one singular purpose, to destroy wicked people. Trust me, what I'm saying is not a joke. All these kind prayers, it doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. There are times you raise your voices as a church and say, God, is it wickedness? You know, I brought something. I'm not saying that. I said, Pastor Mark, maybe he, me too, I made a mistake. May God have mercy on you in Jesus' name. When you wake up in the morning, say, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood. I'll talk about that one again. Maybe in this hour or the following one. What that means is that all my mistakes, you know, Jesus looked at Nathanael and said, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. He wasn't saying that the man has never done anything wrong. He said, this guy has a pure spirit. I preached a message here some time ago. I said, take heed to your spirit. That's all you need to do as a Christian. After that, if you make mistakes, I'm telling you, you will not be in danger. Yes. But then you must release one prayer into the airwaves and say, Lord, all people of wicked hearts who want to destroy goodness and destroy the innocent for their own personal prosperity, the time has come to destroy them from the surface of this nation. Normally, you know what God does in his kindness. When you pray that kind of prayer, he will send a few warning angels out to go and remind some people, say, oh boy, time has come. Then God begins to wipe people out. Honestly, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Listen, that's part of the duty of the church. Now, I started this by saying that anything you don't want to see, don't say it. Don't say that there will be a problem. There's no how. Listen, the natural order of things, that there should be a problem. Even Isaac Newton said it. Every object continues a state of this disorderliness. We are saying that you are the external force that will act upon it by your prayer to compel it to be right. We learn in chemistry the law of entropy. You've heard of Brownian motion. Everything is in disorder. It's natural. So you have not done any good to remind us that it's in disorder. You haven't. You haven't. But if that disorder is going to become corrected, it must be because remember I said God depends on you and depends on me to bring forth his judgment, to bring forth his blessing upon this earth. The other day, one of our brothers sent us a message in our group about, you know me, I'm not a wicked man. The Bible where I read reaches this level. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Some of my harsh words is in the scriptures. I read that. Read Psalms well now. You know, those is when everything was nice. You couldn't understand what was wrong with David. Could a cursed person like this? Did you have that experience? You say, David, why are you so wicked? But having been in Nigeria for a while, you now understand. This brother, I mean, my wife, okay, we're on the same group. They went to, he said he consults for a company that has a food factory, you know, like you have, you know, in Enugu, you have Chitties, you have Mr. Biggs, you have all these Crunchies, Chincherry, all of them. Uh-huh. So one of those kind of these things where he is. And one day the state inspectors came for inspection, which is the proper thing. It's read everywhere. And when they were leaving, they said anything for us. The guy said, man, nothing today, nothing, nothing. They passed. There was nothing wrong with them. When they got the report, they couldn't believe it. That they were discharging their waste into the gutter. Next thing, they came with an order to seal the site. That they should come and settle out of court. So the guy said, what do you guys think? I said, don't settle. I said, this kind one. They know they pray that kind of prayer for secret. Face the guy and tell him to his face that in 24 hours, God is about to let loose evil upon you. Hey, you get some kind of prayer, what are they going to pray? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father! And then this father, that will not work. Contend! The man could tell you, I just didn't play now. All of us said, the guy, no, this one. That's the kind of thing I'm talking. That's what they call evil, wickedness. Bishop, when they put the story, was in the Kaduna in their church. all this persecution thing. I came one day and gave them a sign, notice. Pack away from here because of this and that and that. He said he looked and said, anybody involved in the writing of this letter, they are dead in the name of Jesus Christ. The man who came to deliver, he reached gate, he came back. He said, okay, actually, I'll be messenger. I'm not part of it at all. I just be messenger. See, on that day, he got a message like that after an all-night prayer. He just finished prayer. He looked at them and said, oh, why should this man kill himself? And the man died. John read it and said, why should this man kill himself? And the man died. God is terrible in battle. That's what the Bible says. See, his name is Jehovah, the man of war. Have you ever seen war where they are just say, okay, you can't fight, sorry, or they rub person cheek? Are you a soldier on the opposing side? Oh, no, give me a hug. Have you ever seen that kind of war? What is it? Jehovah, the man of war. What it means is that anybody who comes against him, he don't hear something. No, really, I just feel anointed to say this one today. We are praying for the country. You have to pray for peace. Pray for prosperity. But you also have to release divine judgment against men of evil hearts. Men of wicked spirits. We're not saying those who stumble because of, you know, pressure. We're not saying those who stumble because they are weak, you know, they don't have the strength. But we are saying those who their hearts are full of guile, who have sold themselves over to the devil for their own personal prosperity. And I've said the rest of the people must not make progress. No. And remember, God depends on you and me to say things like that. It depends on us. It's very, very important. But I've thought about it. Many of the things we pray about in Nigeria. Why, not only in Nigeria, many places. Why has God not done anything? The truth is that we pray some kinds of prayers that make it difficult. We pray halfway. We don't finish the other side of it. We pray for prosperity all the time. You'll see later on. You will find out that judgment, all right, recompense to his enemies is part of what Jesus died for. Read your scriptures. I found out, go and read it. Seven seals, a scroll. When they began to break each seal was a release of judgment. The Spirit of God is upon me because at the end of the day, to proclaim the day of the vengeance. Listen, I said, anything you don't want to see, don't say it. But these are things we should say. We declare peace and prosperity and declare the vengeance of God upon his enemies. It's very important. The vengeance of God upon his enemies. Because until the word I said earlier is he depends. He depends. That word depend. God depends on us. And he says, it is time for a vengeance. If we don't pray that prayer, you know what God does? He has only one option. Who knows that option? It's destruction, total wipeout. Even the righteous will taste a bit of it. With all the blessing, God managed to get small from intercession for Lot. What happened to Lot? He lost everything. Yes, he lost everything. When proper intercession is not made for a land, and things keep on spoiling, eventually God says, okay, fine. Oh yeah, spoil everything. What about your righteous people? Pull them out. What about their houses? Leave it there. Their businesses? Leave it there. The churches they built with fine window? Leave it there. Just bring them out. Bring them out. And wipe everything. Clean everything out. That's it. So you have to pray the prayer and balance it well. There must be blessing for his people. Blessing for the righteous. And there must be judgment for the men whose hearts are sold to iniquity. It is for the preservation of the land. That's why I told the story earlier about the man, you know, in that corner of the country where something is happening. He was speaking. I said, what are you talking about? He said, it's good. He said, it's good. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He said, it is good. That when this season is over, that place will progress. He said, when this season is over, there will be economic prosperity. He said, all these wicked people, it is time for them to be removed. when we are praying our prayers, it must be balanced. It's both sides to it. And that is why God's people, righteous people, they must take their hands away from iniquity. You cannot listen. If you use the excuse that everybody is doing it, now me too, I join. And God said, I punish everybody, now I join you too. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. I mean, what is the big deal about poverty? You go poor small, then you go rich. Amen? Yes. If you like build 10 houses, I notice that you always sleep in one room at a time. A corner of a room. If you say your bed would be 9 inch by 6, it only means you won't sleep in peace. You'll be running like this. You know, somebody cracked the joke. You know, prosperity can confuse you if you are not careful. You know, how many of you know Bujarab? Bujarab, how they pronounce it. That there was then, I don't know about now, it was there was only 7-star hotel. Actually, there was something like 7-star. 5-star was the maximum. So when they created it, they had to invent something, 7-star. To sleep in one room there is $25,000 a night. Don't do too much calculation, you may get headache. $25,000 a night. Is that exclusive? So when I discussing it, I don't know whether it was my wife or Yinka, I was just talking. He said, if they put me in that kind of room, I won't sleep the whole night. Can you see what prosperity has done? So better pray I don't put you in that room. Because the truth is that no matter how righteous you are, when somebody says, okay, you'll stay in that suit for the night, and you're looking like, sir, how much is that? $25,000, I say, please, no. Okay, no, stay there by force. Now you go there. You the soap there, you go bath until the soap melt, finish. Because nothing must remain, no. Oh my God, you go toilet 50 times, that tissue. You will consider every... You will consider every sleeping hour a waste. By the time they come to pick you in the morning, you'll be dozing. Say, what? Why didn't you sleep? How can I sleep? $25,000. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, what am I going to say? So, if people pursue money up and down, what is it? Hey, it's not necessary. Plenty of it does not make you happier. That's a matter of fact. It doesn't. What I'm going to say, we can't dare to be different. Especially since we have to be saved from the judgment to come. It's very important. You go into government office, let them be chopping billions. Doesn't matter. Refuse to chop one naira. You say, you'll be poor. So this kind of poverty is sweet. Don't say that, you know. Don't make any excuse. Say, yes, I know now. But this is my kind of poverty is sweet. That this money you are collecting, you can't sleep. Drive your rickety car to the office where all of them are coming with brand new Mercedes Benz. And you must understand that. In fact, you will be whistling. You know the song I'm singing? I can't whistle too much. I'm trying to laugh. This world is now my home. And I want to pass it through. Treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the roof. The angels welcome me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Be singing your song. It doesn't matter. You are delivering yourself from the judgment to come. Then will you now go to the prayer church, known as the real prayer church. Today, we declare that this coming week is a week of judgment. Any man who inflated government contract and collected the cream on top, the cream of his life will disappear. Then you go shout, amen. All your friends you invited to church, they don't come again. It's the will of God. I said it's the will of God.
Amen.
I said it's the will of God.
Amen.
Listen, go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. I talked about the vow of poverty. The vow of what? Poverty. Go and read it. You know what it means. One, we are not afraid of poverty. Our belief, our faith concerning prosperity is because God declared it so. Not because we think that this world is such a sweet place, we don't want everything. No. But if God says this is the price for the redemption of the nation, say, fine. We'll take our small salary, we'll sit in that office, and they're sharing the stolen money, we ain't taking a dime. They are meant to build houses you won't build. So it doesn't matter. But one thing I can assure all of them, that none of them, that's, and you know when you talk, you're not just commenting, you're declaring. Say, none of them will be more comfortable than I will be. You know what you have said? Let them buy the biggest beds. You go home and sleep on a mat. You will sleep. That is, they will have to use hammer to wake you up. That's how deeply you will sleep. But their own, if mosquito do, wow, 2 kilometers away, they go wake up. Why? Because by your declaration, you withdrew peace from the wicked. I hope you got my point. I hope you learned something today. Let me just summarize everything. Don't forget, God depends on us. It depends on you. It depends on me to utter his word, thy will to be done on this earth. And I said our prayer must be balanced. We pray for God's prosperity upon the land, but we should not forget that when Jesus spoke, the last line was to declare the day of the vengeance of the Lord. If we don't do that, then God will not destroy the wicked out of the land. And one day the land will be so polluted, he will have no choice but to wipe everything out. And then the only thing we'll be left with then is our lives. He will spare our lives, but we'll have suffered so much loss. And we don't want that to happen. I hope you are blessed today. Let's just bow our hands. Just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ.